will literally be by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you will be effective. Okay, so I really believe God wants us at a place that he sketches in Psalm 36, where it says, but there's a place of abundance where you're satisfied, you know, by my fullness. And it's from that place that I want you to operate. And there's definitely a mind shift that needs to take place. It's that place of fullness. It's not so that we can just sit there and just be gluttonous and, you know, become fat and lazy. It's a place where we receive so that we can go out and give the whole day, you know, as we go out. You know, it's not just for ourselves. We receive and we have that platform so that we can go and we can go and serve and just, yeah, sow the seed and just, you know, be obedient to that which the Holy Spirit's, you know, presses on our heart. Now, what's our mission statement? It says we want to, what do we want to do? We want to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, church planting, and leadership development. Now, what is that reach nations? What do we want to reach them with? Yeah, the gospel, the good news. Okay, and I think often we get stuck at the how we do it, you know, through the leadership development or through the disciple making. We must always keep in front of us why we have to go and do that. It's to share the good news, the awesome news of salvation that we have in Christ, okay? And I really believe as we just draw closer to God, we'll understand his heart more and more, and his heart is for the lost. His desire is for the entire world, for everyone to get saved. But to make it more practical for us in Weybridge, I really want us as home groups or us as individuals to go and trust the Holy Spirit to show us, you know, Lord, I'm going to start with my street, you know, or just look at a radius, for instance, around the area, the position where we meet as home group, and really trust and even go on prayer walks and go and anoint doors if we feel led to do that, and really just have a practical area that we are trusting that God's light, you know, will infiltrate. A while back during intercession, God just showed me a picture, and I was so excited about it because it feels, yes, this is what we must do. I'm going to try and explain it as good as possible. The first one was basically of a blacked out frame, and there were just few dots of lights. And I felt, but that is the different areas or locations where believers are in this town. And I mean, we are part of the body of believers here. And then the next picture, it was as if God showed us, okay, where he wants us to go. And those lights that were already there, they increased in size, and there were also new positions that light was placed. And then the last slide that he, you know, that I saw is just a complete whiteout, you know, just light completely taking over every last corner of darkness or the, you know, place where that tries to hide. And in a practical sense, I think that is where we can go, you know, trusting on a basic level, Holy Spirit, what must we do? How can we bring this light that you have for this area? Because it's not just for us, it is for everyone. Often we get stuck at Egypt. Now, figuratively, that's where we came from, you know, our life before Christ, where we were at before we knew God as our Savior. But I really believe, and it's a word to myself as well, but I trust it's for us as well as congregation and as believers. It's, you know, Egypt has had its time. We must move on now, and we mustn't try to comprehend God's plans and what he wants to establish through our mind, because we actually cannot contain the bigness. Yes, that is, we must move away from the time, and we're actually wasting time by being and staying stuck, you know, hovering around Egypt or just worrying about what was there. And the three D's, there's doubt, distraction, and deception. Now, doubt usually comes in, I'm just briefly going to touch on it. In my regard, for instance, I can think, oh, you know, I'm a mother, I'm not in touch with anyone, I'm just running around and I'm potty training my little daughter at the moment, so I'm just flipping, you know, cleaning up everywhere. You know, and I can just think, yeah, I really can't, I don't have time, you know, to actually do something effective. But when the guys from Stellenbosch was here, there was such a significant word. I just had such a, it actually became a burden in me, just that worry of, oh, you know, but I'm doubting actually what I've been called for. And, you know, there was just a confusion that came in because I'm just in this mothering role now, but yet I have this heart for God, but I don't know how to bring the two together. And then, you know, I went forward and I was in tears and like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. And the guy just looked at me and he says, oh, yes, you know, the God, you know, the Holy Spirit gave him a word. Your kitchen, your house must become the prayer engine room. And I'm like, you know, it's as if I just got a smile when he said that, because it made sense. Yes, I don't have time, or it's not practical necessary with two kiddies to get everywhere, to be at intercession, or, you know, to go on a prayer walk or whatever. But nothing stops me in my house while I'm busy with them to proclaim the word, to proclaim the truth, to trust God, you know, to show us what we must do, okay? And I actually repented, because I think I missed it, you know, because I got so, distracted by this, I can't really, there's not a way in which I can walk. Okay, so doubt crept in, so you must watch for that. Then distraction, that's often when you worry about worldly stuff, or you worry about work, or man, anything that you worry about that's actually not from God. And God doesn't want us to carry that thing. He says his burden is, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And if we yoke ourselves with Jesus, if we walk with him, those worries, even if we, register them, they shouldn't pull us down. You know, you should understand, it's good to think things through, but I know in Christ I will be fine. I'll be capable, and this will also pass. Okay, and then deception. Now, the only thing that I want to point out at deception is basically a blindness that creeps in, and that's basically the religious spirit that causes this blindness. Practically, if you look at it, anything, why, what's your motivation for doing stuff? Why do you pray? Do you feel you have to? Or is it because you just have a son or a relationship as son or daughter with God? Is it out of obligation, or is it just flowing, just out of that desire, just to have relationship with your father? Okay, and I really just, I'm trusting that in my own life as well, God had to come and show me where I actually just started doing stuff out of habit, and that's just a waste of time, and nothing happens then, you know, other than you just making yourself tired. Okay, if there was anything of the three, doubt, distraction, or deception, that you register even through the sermon, we would love to pray for you. That is why we are here. It's so that we can come around each other, we can pray for each other, my faith can cover your weakness, and we can move on. We can go on and, you know, claim Weybridge for the Lord, or we can go even beyond this and start praying about Surrey, for instance. But, I just feel there's people that you take too long just to open, just to say, listen, I've got a need. Please come around me. This is really pulling me down. And, that's really just something that it immobilizes us as a body of believers. So I would please make time for each other, just if you have a need, to contact someone, to come forward, just pray with someone so that it can be dealt with, so that we can keep our eyes, on that which we must do in this place. Now, often I think it would be awesome if, magic wand. You have this, I have a few computer programs where you just push the magic wand and five steps take place and your whole image is perfect, or, it does it a lot, lots of functions, takes place in a sequence. And I think often we think that is how God is, Lord, just come and, abracadabra and gush, everything is, in order. No, there's certain practical things that we need to do, and it's not, I think it's our alignment. We should practically see and make sure that we stay in line with Christ, that he is our source, and then, his Holy Spirit would be able to flow successfully. And that's pretty much what I want to look at today. Two things, distinguishing between roles, what God's role is, or Jesus or the Holy Spirit's role is, and what our role is. And we shouldn't confuse the two. I am not God, you are not God, so don't try, to do his work. I must simply come and align myself with him so that his, his life, his power can operate through me, to touch the person who I'm, for instance, having a conversation with. Now, I just also saw it as if we are all pipes, all of us are a conduit. We're just a means through which God can move, can flow. And that's why I asked at the beginning, each one of us must actually go and pray, but where do I fit myself in? Because it's as if we must make a structure with this pipeline so that we meet Weybridge, in the most effective way that we can at this stage. And as we bring people in, or as, the Holy Spirit draws people into his house, we would just know where to connect them, just to increase this network of, pipelines. And a plumber would probably be able to explain it better. But, just see it as we have to fit ourselves together so that the Holy Spirit can flow you know, in the most effective way, our coverage, we must really concentrate on that. Now, I'm just going to look at two things. Just God being the water and light, you know. And the water in the word, basically, it usually it's a symbol of eternal life through Christ, or it's the Holy Spirit flowing. And today, if I refer to water, it's just going to be to the Holy Spirit flowing, okay? And then if we look at light a bit later, that is going to be, Jesus says, you know, I'm the light of the world. So he is going to be the light, if I speak about that today. And I really just want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Now, let's look at water. Now, first of all, Revelation 21, verse 6. There's quite a few scriptures, so you're more than welcome to page to them, but I'm not sure I'm going to, you know, let you do that with everything. Revelation 21, verse 6, it says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" And then Revelation 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride says, 'Come.' And let him who hears says, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Okay? So we can see Christ's role is the one who freely gives the water. He's the one that gives the invitation. He's the one that's got that water to give. And if we respond, he's actually the one that will turn that water that you have received into a fountain of life that will just produce water the whole time in your life. Okay? Then next scripture, what's our role? John 7, verse 37 to 39. "On the last day," this is Jesus speaking, "that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." It was before he was crucified. John 4, verse 10 to 14, it says, "But whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Okay, so what was the two things that we should actually do? Let me read the scripture again, John 7, verse 37 to 39. "On the last day of the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" So what must we do? Pardon? Okay, that's a yes. And more? What? Yes, drink. And how must you be? How do you feel before you drink? Yes, you're thirsty. Okay, now this is the practical thing. How do you become thirsty? That's where we, yes, if you eat salt. And another way, yes, if you exercise. Now quickly turn with me to Proverbs 11, verse 25. I really believe there's not an ABC. You know, God is not giving us like, do this little, apply this formula, and then my kingdom will come in this place. Throughout scripture, there's keys that he gives to us. And it's literally keys to unlock the door, you know, for the next step that we need to take. And throughout the scripture that we're reading today, I believe there are a few keys that we need to notice so that we can start applying them in our lives, so that we can unlock these doors, so that, you know, the Holy Spirit can flow freely through us. Now, first of all, Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." Okay, and this is actually just a key which shows, listen, if you water, if you give from yourself continually, you know, God will come and he replaces that source of water that you are giving away. Okay, so one of the keys for us is really just to come and just to give freely. And often, you know, it's the most powerful if you serve someone or if you give in an area where you actually have a need. I don't know if you've noticed that, but try it next time, you know. Just ask yourself, what is actually my biggest need that I have? And say, for instance, I can't think of something now. But just identify that and then look for someone that you recognize that same need you know, need in, and then actually start serving that person in that place. And I can tell you, you will see how the Holy Spirit will come and water you in that area as you just go out in faith, you know, and serve your brother and sister in that same, you know, need. Okay, so thirst, okay, we have to exercise, so we have to just get rid of the water through whichever way. And then the second thing, eating salt. Now, what's quite interesting, as you all know, the word says, you know, we are the salt of the earth, you know, so be salt, don't lose your flavor. First of all, how does salt lose flavor? There's one of the ways how it loses flavor is if you dilute it in water, you know, and if you water it down and, you know, just continue watering it down, then that's actually a way how it loses its flavor. And that was just a reminder for us where the Lord said, listen, God, with all your heart, the truth in its fullness, don't allow that any mindsets of the world, any ways that your colleagues think or whatever, water down the truth in your life, because that is when we, as the salt of the earth, actually loses the flavor. Okay, so guard it with all your heart. And salt, another reference that it has is you must have it in your own life. There's a grace that must flow from our hearts as we just connect with each other, as we connect with the lost, as we connect with anyone around us. That place where we understand, I am the salt because Christ has given me the ability, you know, to be it. It's not something that I'm producing. It's because I'm in Christ that I can be the salt, that we can be used, you know, to season around so that thirst can be stimulated for people to come and to drink from the river. Okay, I want you to see, just reading John 4, verse 14 again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Who quenches the thirst? Yes, Jesus. So just ask yourself, sometimes frustration comes in because we try to help someone, you know, and it's not happening, and my grace, you know, I sometimes repent, I'm like, oops, I think my measure of grace is a bit depleted here, and then I want to get cross with the person, and then I'm like, okay, let's start over again. Jesus is the only one that can quench thirst, okay? So if something is not happening, or if you are getting frustrated, you're probably trying to do it out of your own strength, and then we're missing it, okay? Our positioning as pipe, as conduit, is not right. So always remember and rejoice in the fact that, listen, it's Jesus that quenches. So, just you can go and love and can sit around and, you know, there'll be specific instruction that the Holy Spirit will give you, but don't try to do God's work. Don't try to quench, because it's only Jesus, you know, that can quench that thirst that we have. Just two things that we can look out in the word we read, just of instances where people missed it. The two scriptures are Jeremiah 17, verse 13, and Jeremiah 2, verse 13, and it says the following, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. And the other scripture, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Okay, so just always, you know, tying into of it's Jesus that quenches. Don't try to do it from your own strength, because then you see yourself as the source of life, okay? And that's when the wheels are going to come off. What is our part? As I've already said, we must come and drink and we must believe. Okay? This will allow the waters, just the Holy Spirit, His power to flow through us. Now, a key that I believe, and that's why I asked you a bit earlier, how do you feel when you get up in the mornings? I really believe a key, one of the practical keys that we can try and use to see if we can actually unlock something, is said in Isaiah 12, verse 3, where it says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. And I really believe it's with a joyfulness that we must come and draw that water, you know, draw that water every day. And I'm not going to, you go and figure out what works for you. If it is to go for a run, you know, and to have that fellowship with God, and, you know, and really just to have quality, intimate time with Him. If it is to sit for 2 hours and meditate, you will know how you draw your water. But it's important that we, while we do that drawing, that it's with joy that we do it. And the reason why we can be joyful is, I think the more we realize what Christ has done for us, the more overwhelmed one actually becomes, because it's huge. It's everlasting life that we have in Him. It is just being able to enjoy Him just for who He is, you know, for ages to come. Just there's so much that we can partner with as, you know, just of in receiving that inheritance that we have in Christ. So it's literally that which triggers that joy, I believe. Now, just a few practical things. How can we, you know, how can you measure where you are at? You know, if you just want to say, okay, where am I drawing from the right source? Now, Proverbs 10 verse 11 says the following: the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Then Luke 6 verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Okay. Earlier, it also mentioned, you know, as God actually comes and quenches our thirst, it says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And here it says now, you know, the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. For what is in the abundance of the heart, his mouth will speak. So a very practical way to measure where I'm at is, what is coming out of your mouth? What are you saying? Are you moaning and groaning the whole day from the morning till the evening? Or just listen to yourself. What is actually coming out of your mouth? Because that, it says, you know, what's in our heart will flow through our mouths. And that's actually a nice way just to see, okay, well, is it actually God, this river of life that he caused to become a fountain that's, you know, flowing from our heart through my mouth? Is that my speech or not? Okay, light of the world. Let's quickly move on. Again, I just want to bring your attention to the fact that God is the source of light. Okay, Jesus is the light. John 8 verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then Revelation 21 verse 23, I love how this just says it. The city had no need of a sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light, okay? So Jesus is this light. And I, as I said, the light, if I refer to today, I see it as our position in Christ. Okay, so if we just practically come to that place where I just daily just surrender myself and say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm not standing on my own strength, on my own ability. I'm trusting that I'm positioning myself in Christ, in that fullness, you know, in that abundance of life that you give me. From that place, I can go out, you know, and we can go and touch nations and generations, you know, through the different means. Now, practically, what does it tell us? It tells us, walk in the light. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 14 says the following: for you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Again, I just want to show you, you know, Jesus being the source, where he's the one that quenches. He's also the one that comes and illuminates something in your life, that comes and open your eyes to see, okay, this is actually the true state of things, you know. I can't do that for you. You can't do it for me. You know, it's literally Jesus, his light, that can come, you know, and expose things in our lives. That's why it's crucial for us, you know, again, to be positioned so that he can be that source of light in our lives. Just quickly to go back. I'll get to it later. A warning, just with a light, and just if we look at that. Basically, in Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23, it says the following: the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? But I want you to see is, but if the eye is bad, your whole body would be full of darkness. Taking just back to deception coming through the religious spirit, which blinds. a blind person can't see light. So even if it's shining, you know, very brightly around you, if you're blind, you cannot see it. So it's extremely important for us, you know, just to be at that place where you just guard against religion creeping in, because it just kills the life of Jesus that wants to just manifest through us. Okay, and I'm just going to say that. Practically, what can we do as congregation? What can we do as home groups, for instance? Matthew 10, verse 27, it says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and that what you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetops." Okay? We can come, there's definitely, like in the Word, there's, you'll read, you know, this person just knowing God is telling him, listen, take your stuff and go to this town, there will be a man waiting under a tree. And then he goes, and then the next day, you know, lo and behold, the man is waiting under the tree. You know, there's practical instruction that the Holy Spirit gives us to guide us. And that is what God actually wants to do with us. That is how we will become that pipeline. That's how it will become actually much more effective. You know, we won't be all feeling around in the dark doing what we think we must do. If we just make time, if we just sit and worship God, thank Him, you know, celebrate Him with that expectation for that instruction to come, you'll give it, and we will be able to walk with it, and you'll see Christ's kingdom will, it will move forward in this place, okay? So I really just want to encourage you just to have that expectation. We don't just come to church to come to church. We come to meet with God. We come to get that word, Lord, what must we do this week, you know? And then it's that triggers or releases the measure of faith that we have. That spoken word, if you go out and if you just do it, even if it seems ridiculous, like Morne preached a few weeks back, you know, I mean, Jericho, here comes Israel, they have no weapons and they're going with their, you know, instruments and walking around this fortified city. I mean, some of the soldiers must probably have thought, you know, Joshua, what are you doing? This is actually ridiculous. But, you know, they just obeyed. And we must come to that place. Don't try and analyze what God is telling you, you know. Just be obedient, walk in another instruction, and the walls will come down, breakthrough will come. There will be penetration into the darkness. Okay, so it's a practical way in our home groups, for instance, how we just can come and say, Lord, give us that word. How can we increase, you know, our radius of our light in this area? And then do it just by the boldness of the Holy Spirit and see how God's kingdom come and increases, you know, in that area that you operate. And don't be discouraged if you know you're just here for a while, if you're only passing through. I mean, there's a specific reason why you're here now, and it's the same principles that will apply even if you're just in a different area. And say, for instance, if you move to a different country, it's going to be the same principles that you're going to use to trust God for. It's just going to be new instruction that would be applicable to that area. Okay, so don't use it as an excuse not, you know, really to get involved, just in trusting to see God's kingdom come in this place because you think, ah, well, you know, I'm passing through in any case. You know, we're missing it if we think like that. Quickly going back to the water reference, John 4, verse 10 to 14, where it says, that's actually the story or the instance where Jesus met the woman at the well. And I actually quickly want to read it to you. It's John 4. I want to read it because I think this is another key that we should use to unlock. Basically what happens is Jesus comes to, you know the story well, he comes to the well and there's a lady busy drawing water, and then he says, you know, would you draw water for me as well? And he tells her, verse 10, Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But now, to go on, Jesus comes, verse 16, and he says to her, go call your husband and come here. Now, that's what I love about Jesus. There's no beating around the bush. He's not trying to be, you know, this woman, as we know, I mean, her life was in a mess. She wasn't just staying with her husband. And yet Jesus came, and I mean, I don't think he was doing it in a way, you know, to expose her negatively. He just thought, listen, let's just be real with each other. What's going on here? And then, you know, he asked her, listen, go call your husband and bring him here. And then she goes, oh, no, she doesn't have a husband and this and that. And he's like, yes, you have actually spoken well because you have five. So at least, you know, there was a half-truth in there. But then she carries on telling him about how his their forefathers worshipped and stuff and actually just, you know, trying to dodge the subject. That's how it feels like to me. You know, and Jesus just brings it back and says, listen, there's a time that's coming that you have to worship in spirit and in truth. And that truth, I believe, is being truthful with where you're at. We're the masters of trying to all make things look better. You know, I look in the mirror and think, no, man, you're not that bad. It's all right that you've not, you know, that you've not had, you know, been spending proper time or just having relationship with God for the last 2 years, for instance. You're right, you know, you'll be fine, just carry on. And we apply makeup, you know, we try to make ourselves look better than where we actually at. But what I love about this, what God says is, listen, he touches immediately on that which is withholding her from allowing that water to flow freely, okay? And when she, you know, eventually clicked it, she went back to a town, and she was so effective, the entire town got saved, okay? So I want you to see, you know, be real. Otherwise, just be real with where you're at. Be truthful with God, you know, and even though for you it might seem impossible or incredibly terrible or whatever, nothing is too big for God. Nothing can cancel that which he has already done, you know, or that power. Okay, and again, I think it's when we lose focus, it's when we're trying to do it from our own strength that we start panicking about, say, this five husbands that we have on the side. Okay, and then, of course, as you grow in your relationship with God, there will be a natural drawing to him. You will step away from that lifestyle. You will not carry on, you know, and abuse grace. I really believe that. Often you hear people say, oh, no, you know, too much grace, then you can do what you want. That's not the truth. Jesus is grace, and if you come to know him, he will draw you closer to him, you know, daily, and your life will, you know, get in line. So please, just truthful, it's in spirit and in truth that we must come to the Father. So don't be ashamed. I mean, he knows everything in any case, so you're actually just fooling yourself and wasting time if you try to hide it. Okay, then lastly, I have we'll hold this up in a second because I don't have a black cokie, so I'll try and explain it as good as I can. But I love photography, and I'm just going to give you, you know, just break the jargon down to a very simple state, because it's as if it's a picture that God just showed us practically, you know, how can we go about. Now, this illustration is the lens, or attempt to draw the lens. And on this side, the lens opening is at its widest, okay? So that white part is the opening. And then on this side, just that small dot in the middle, you know, is the lens opening. Now, basically, aperture in photography basically just refers to the size of the opening of the lens. And what does that do? That determines the amount of light that can reach the sensor, you know, as you're taking a photo. And then another thing in photography is there's a shutter speed. There's also the length of time that you have your lens open at a specific opening. Okay, and they basically work together. If I open my lens up one stop, you know, if I go closer to f2, there's a whole scale. I just showed you three, but there's, you know, there's a entire scale. But say if I'm at f8 and I go one stop in the direction of f2, so I increase the size of the opening, the amount of light actually doubles, okay? Or if I go from f8 in this direction, if I make it one size smaller, I halve the amount of light that comes in. And then the shutter speed will act accordingly. Say if I open up the lens one stop, so if I double the size of the lens opening, I will only have to... It will be double the speed that I would be able to take the photo at. Say if I took half a second or a second that I had to keep the lens open to get the light, if I opened it up one stop, you know, I would only need half a second. Does it make sense? Great, because I think I'm confusing myself. Now, what this is, there's, and the last thing, the depth of field. How, yes. If you have your lens, there's different settings that you can have your lens at. Now, depending on the setting, actually determines the amount that's in focus in your image, which is the depth of field. So usually if you've got your lens open at its widest, you'll only have a very shallow depth of field. Okay, say if you take a picture from me, only I will be in focus, but the instruments here at the back will be blurry. And if you take us, take a picture with the lens opening small, everything, I will be in focus, the instruments will be in focus, and the curtain at the back will be in focus. Now, what I believe God is saying is that there's different situations, and I mean, in photography, there's also, it used to be film, but now it's just an electronic little sensor, and your ISO number, that's your film speed. Now, basically what that determines is the sensitivity of the sensor taking up the light. So if it's 100, that's the slower part, then it can absorb a certain amount of light. But the faster your the higher your ISO number goes, the more sensitive it becomes. So what does it mean for us? First of all, can you see that if you're not open to God, if you just allow, a small access point for him, you actually have to sit a very long time for light to travel through your lens for that picture to be formed, okay? Whereas if you're completely open, it's literally a quick time and you'll receive that which he wants to give to you. Okay, but then, and your ISO number, if you're a high ISO number, which all of us must be, is you have the ability to absorb light in very bad lighting conditions. So say if it's close to dawn or dusk, you must push up your ISO number because, you will increase the ability to receive that light without, the image becoming very grainy. Okay, so for us, we must always be very sensitive. What does that mean? We must be at a place where we're in relationship with God, not just the Sunday Christian or just when I feel like it. Come to that place like Corey in the mornings. She just loves being in her father's house. I mean, she just flipping overflows with joy when she wakes up, and she just cannot wait to see what is, the day holds for us. Okay, so I really believe our sensitivity is determined just by understanding that inheritance that we have and just enjoying that inheritance, enjoying that fellowship and relationship that we can have with God. And then just these different lens settings, we must become sensitive for what we are faced with. Some of us, for instance, are going to be at that place where and forget now the example where I said if you only open small, you have to sit a long time. New example. There'll be different situations that calls for different settings. And some of us will actually sit and our lens opening will be small and we'll have that extended time so that we can see, and you'll actually see clearly, you'll have that depth of field so that you can, for instance, instruct the others that's out there or the other part of the pipeline that has their lenses open. They don't have massive depth of field, but they just walk in obedience like this as God is saying stuff, and they just receive that knowledge, that light, that understanding of what they need to do. And it's because you are helping them, that's waiting, that's really of trusting God for that vision for us where we're going. So I want to encourage you, remember, and I mean, it's always a pity for me if people have these wonderful cameras and they just automatic, hoy them on the green one the whole time. It's such a waste of your camera. It's actually sad. Get to know, play around with it. And it's amazing just the extra amount of stuff that you'll be able to accomplish through that machine. And it's the same with us. Don't just approach God the same way every time, the same time or length of time. Just start trusting him. Lord, what must my settings be, to receive the right word from you for now so that I can walk effectively? Okay, just to sum up, the only thing that I wanted you just to hear today is your source. What is your source? Are you, are you allowing Jesus to come and be the one that creates that fountain of life through you? Or the Holy Spirit, he's his power? Are you allowing him to flow through you? And then you, me, we're a conduit, we're a pipeline through which God can operate, okay? And really just ask God, okay, where do I fit in? Where do I have to position myself? Because a pipe, if it just lays there, it's useless. I mean, all of you have seen a hose pipe when, you know, it just breaks its connection and there's just this massive pool of water being wasted because the water cannot flow from itself through the over the grass and then into the next part of the pipe. It's wasted. Okay, so it's crucial for us as congregation, you know, to start fitting ourselves or to start creating that, you know, network of pipes so that we can effectively, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to flow in this area. Okay, let's pray. As we pray, can the ushers just bring the communion elements? Thank you. Father God, we just worship you, Lord. We thank you that you are truthful, Father God, that you are alive, Father. And Holy Spirit, I just pray just for such a revelation of who you are, first of all, today, Lord God, and then second of all, who we are in you. Father, and I thank you, it's from that place that we can go and that we can be effective, Lord God, that we can see how your kingdom comes in this place. I pray, Father God, just to come in us and just to give us that instruction, Father God, for Waybridge, Father, to come and show us how we must position ourselves so that your kingdom can come in this place, Lord God, because that is what it's about. It's awesome to meet you, Father God. It's awesome to come and worship you here, but it is useless if we just keep it for ourselves. Lord, and we just express our desire today. Come, Lord God, and do your work through us, Father God. Come and give us that word. Come and fill our hand with seed, Father God. And I pray just for a willingness, Father God, an understanding that as we go out and as we just water, as we just sow, Lord God, that you will come and you will refresh us, Father, if we just stay connected, if we just stay, Father, in that place where we have fellowship with you. I just pray for minds, Lord God, where, you know, where it feels, but it must be so much more complicated than this. You know, it cannot just be that easy. Lord, you know, I just pray, Holy Spirit, renew our minds, give us that mind of Christ that we have in you. Lord, and I pray, open our eyes, Father God, so that we can see your light, so that we can see, Father, that which you want to establish in the place through your power in the name of Jesus.